an antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and as always, grateful to bring these broadcasts to you. Well, last Friday, we started a study in the Heidelberg Catechism, and it's important to reorient us today to the importance of what we confess. And I said last week that many churches, if you go on their websites, will give you a statement of their faith. And that is something that you want to explore very carefully. Listen, what you believe and why you believe it is very important to understand. And what a church believes and why they believe it is also important for you to understand. I said last week that one of the great dangers today is it's not so much about what is said. You can generally get orthodox statements put out in very simplistic form. It's what's not being said. And today, everything has been so reduced in the Christian faith that the content has been stripped, and we really aren't left with people understanding what they believe, why they believe it. And that's the purpose of what I want to do on these Friday sessions. We have creeds and confessions for a reason in Protestant churches. And it's interesting when Christians come into contact with these and they see that all the summary statements of the faith have been put down into question and answer format. They're overwhelmed. They had no idea that this stuff existed. But you kind of got to get over the barrier that is out there of this whole pietistic statement of no creed but Christ. How do you say that without having a creed? In other words, what you believe about Jesus matters. That's your creed. And if we aren't able to summarize that, if we aren't able to put that down for people, what we're promoting is sheer subjective feeling in our Christianity. And that is a time danger. You will end up in all sorts of strange doctrines, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So when Roman Catholicism had held people years ago where they couldn't have the Bible and only the priests could read the Bible, and they were selling indulgences, and they had all of this idolatry, when Protestants came about, they started writing creeds and confessions to help people understand the basics of the Christian faith. And I believe that's something we need recovered again. That's why we're doing this on Abounding Grace. We're looking at the Heidelberg Catechism written in 1563, and this is no dry, cold, dogmatic document. This is a beautiful, beautiful, warm document stating the truths of the Christian faith in a meaningful way. Last time we looked at the first question and answer, which is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And that answer was that I'm no longer my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who is fully satisfied for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's something you want to memorize. That's something you want to know. That summarizes our whole faith. Christ purchased me. I belong to him. He set me free. He's given me his Spirit. He's now taught me how to live. He's prepared me how to live. This is beautiful, warm Christian doctrine. Well, now we move on to the second question and answer, and this is what I want to interact with you today on Abounding Grace. Question two, how many things are necessary for us to know that we may in this comfort live and die happily? That's a great question. What must we know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? What is essential for Christians to know? Now, this is easy to confess things when things are going well, but did you notice the question presents to us that we not only confess things in our lives, but even when we're going to our death, when things are going bad, what we believe matters. This is what is going to carry us forward. This is what's going to help us. This is why Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For if I am to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Listen, the only way a Christian could say that, I don't even know which one's better. I could go to my death in such confidence. Why he's saying that is he has an understanding. His confession, what he believes is so dear to him, it has so gripped his heart. He knows that whatever the Lord's will for him, if the Lord keeps him here, there'll be fruit in his life to help other people. If the Lord takes him, he gets to go be with the Lord. What gave him that perspective is what he believed. You ever think that people are so distressed today in Christianity with no perspective in their trials and sufferings because they really don't know what they believe and why they believe it? That's a serious question. That's an important question. What we know is everything. What we believe is everything. And think of what the devil has done today. The statement that has come out today is something like this. Well, it's not about the head knowledge. It's all about the heart. Now, you know my response to that today, right? On Abounding Grace. What is my response to that very pious statement that's so prevalent today? It's just about the heart, only about the heart. Have you listened to what God says about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? First thing I say. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all sorts of awful things. You don't want to start with the heart, do you? You can't get to the heart without going through the head. If you just go to the heart, you end up in sheer feeling and emotion with not being grounded in the truth as it is in Jesus. And this was the problem with the Jews, where Romans exposed that they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They had a passion for God. They must have been sincere, but it wasn't according to knowledge. Knowledge is important. Listen, why can't we have a rigorous understanding of the Christian faith? Why can't we be intellectual? Is that evil? Is not the Bible a book? Is not the Bible come to us with rich theology? Is not the Bible given for intense study to give your minds to God? Isn't it interesting that the Lord said you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You see, this is important, isn't it? What we believe is everything. So here we're discussing, this is what the second question is dealing with. And by the way, you know, years ago, Christians memorized truths. They memorized God's truth. They memorized the Bible. Today, we don't do that. And we're suffering for that. We're not imprinting God's truth on our minds. We're not imprinting God's truth in our minds, in our hearts of our children, so that when they go through the hard times, as the scripture says, this is what will fill them. This is what will guide them. This is what will help them. Train our children in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. We're not doing this today. And I suggest we're suffering for it. We're suffering. I'm always amazed that when I look at the older generation and they're dying, or I go into a rest home, and you know, some of their minds are gone, but you sing an old song or you read a passage of scripture and I can see on their lips them stating word for word in their long-term memory, God's word, his psalms. And you know, that's what's guiding them. Something to think about, isn't it? We're all going to be in that rest home soon. Now, what must we know? That's what I'm going to close with today. What must we know? The Heidelberg says here, interesting, what must we know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? Crucial question, isn't it? Are there things we must know? And the answer is absolutely. There are things we must know. What must we know? First, the greatness of my sin and my misery. The greatness of it. You see, you can't really understand the need for Christ, the need for gospel, the need for grace, And do you understand that your situation is absolutely desperate? You are so wicked in your hearts and in your lives that the wrath of God presently abides on you. How far have we fallen? Listen, we didn't just fall off the first story of our roofs. When the fall happened in the garden, we fell off the Eiffel Tower, and when we hit the ground, we died. There is no spiritual life in us. And for anyone to truly be saved, they've got to have a knowledge of their condition. And now you see how sad it is that people won't preach sin today. How are you really making known the riches of Jesus if you're not showing people why you need him? I mean, isn't that it? You can't make grace great without making sin seen in the hearts and the lives of God's people, make them feel how great it is in them. We only will see our need for grace in correlation to how we see how desperate our condition is in our sin. Today, we don't even want to call it sin. We just want to avoid that whatsoever. And churches that aren't preaching sin are false churches. You can't preach Jesus or your need for him without understanding that the wrath of God abides on you because of your sin. Now, so then, I need to know my sin, but I'm not left in despair. What's the second thing that Heidelberg says? How I am set free from all of my sin and misery. How is that bondage broken in your life? What did God do? God sent his son, who in the fullness of time came down off his throne, took on our nature, became one of us, lived a perfect life, became a curse for us, faced the wrath of God on the cross, the blazing wrath of God in his body and in his soul, suffering an eternity's worth that we would deserve if we went to hell. He paid for it. And he says, all who believe in him are set free from their sin and misery. They have an atonement, propitiation, an appeasement, a satisfaction is made to God on our behalf by the perfect and righteous life of God's Son. And we receive that by faith. What's the third thing? So the first thing is how great I'm a sinner. Second thing is how I'm set free from my sin. And third, what does the Heidelberg say? How I am to thank God for this deliverance. In other words, how I am to live out the rest of my life as a free child of God in thankfulness to him for so great a salvation. How do we do that? We value God's law. It's interesting, the Heidelberg Catechism puts the law of God in the gratitude section. The law of God is the expression now as Christians of how we can show we love the Lord. This is why the Apostle Paul said, as Christians, we don't throw out the law. We establish it. Now it's a way of gratitude. We're not under it for condemnation. It is the pathway forward for us to know how we can live thankfully to the Lord. And why would we not want to, first commandment, love the Lord our God? Why would we want to bow down to idols? Of course we wouldn't as Christians. Why would we take his name in vain? Why would we not want to honor a day of rest to enjoy God? Why would we dishonor authority? Why would we murder, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, covet, when these are expressions of God's holiness? So this is the Heidelberg. What do you need to know? You need to know how great your sin is, what Jesus has done to set you free, and how you can live thankfully to God for what he's done for you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And what a wonderful thing that he cares to instruct us in his truth. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.